Chapter 17. Adam turned away from the cloud, but none of the others followed. Levi pointed up.
I'm pretty sure that's...
No, it's not, Adam insisted.
Look. He held up the cottage piece, inscribed with the words, They have exchanged the colors of the Creator for that of the created. The group's blank stares prompted an explanation. He pointed to a faint line on the piece. Do you see that? Levi examined it.
See what?
I think you're going to have to unfold it for us, Adam, Lath said.
Adam pushed his fingernail into the seam and pulled the piece open. Then he caught two other seams and pulled them back, revealing a drawing. The image was of a man running after a bird with his back to the father. He pointed to the cloud.
Those are birds.
They are this world's counterfeit of the father's colors.
Theirs are created colors.
Created colors are fine when they point us to the Father, but when they distract us from Him or serve as a substitute for His colors, the creation becomes a rival to the Creator.
He looked again at the cloud.
That, my friends, is a distraction.
He's right, Charles said. Those aren't the Father's colors. Look closely. There's no splendor or majesty. No wisdom, no mercy, no patience. They amuse, but they don't fortify the soul.
Levi reached for the cottage piece.
Let me see.
He examined the unfolded piece and looked up again.
Yeah, I see it. Those aren't real colors.
Several birds swooped down and cut through the group, catching everyone's attention, and returned to the flock. As the glorious cloud moved eastward, Adam took a half step in that direction, then squeezed his eyes closed.
No,
he shouted, then turned and ran westward. The group followed.
Gibor pointed to a battalion of guardians.
Another 200 just arrived from the high country. Where do you want them?
Levite surveyed the battle lines.
North end, he said, pointing. The prince is sending his reinforcements up that way, so we need to strengthen that section.
The line of warriors inched closer to the guardians, both sides on a hair trigger, awaiting the signal from their commanders. Pulses raced. As the friends prepared to make another attempt to bring Abigail across the border, Charles exhorted them.
Keep your mind in the cottage, not on what you see around you. The moment a thought crosses your mind, ask yourself, is it true? Is it noble and right, pure and lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? If not, drive it out.
Horns sounded and the warriors attacked. The lines collided and the ground shook with the roar of the battle. Each of the friends glowed purple, wielding their unique weapons. The sounds of ringing steel filled the orchard, along with the cries of both warriors and guardians. Gibor almost tripped over three warriors that had been flattened by a single stroke from Abigail's sword. He gave an approving nod to Karis before flying off to check on the northern front. A detachment of warriors managed to separate Watson from the group. None of the friends noticed until Big Red tapped Lath on the shoulder.
To your left. In those trees.
Lath turned just in time to catch a glimpse of Watson disappearing into the trees and ran to help him. Adramelech saw the big man lumbering toward the grove and grabbed Anzu by the shirt, pointing after Lath.
Do something about him.
Veins popped in Anzu's arms as he took up a rod.
Gladly.
The rabid lieutenant ran and slammed Lath from behind just as he entered the trees.
Dust rose and trees shook as the two combatants engaged.
Lath spotted Watson, seated on a stone, gazing into nowhere.
I hate it when he gets like this. He's not going to listen to me.
Lath stopped. His normal eagerness to help a discouraged friend had evaporated. Just walking over and saying a few simple, uplifting words suddenly felt like an impossible chore.
When Watson wants to be alone, he wants to be alone.
Laith turned back to the battlefield. But after a few steps, he paused.
Wait, why is it so hard for me to say a few words to a friend? This makes no sense.
Anzu froze.
Did I go too far? Did I give away my...
A flash of purple lightning exploded from Laith's javelin. Anzu parried the blow and countered. Rage fed Anzu's strength, and he rushed Laith in a ferocious assault. Adramelech, utterly distracted from the battle, stood mesmerized as the cries of Laith's soul and Anzu's shrieks of horror rose from the tumult within the trees. An hour passed. The treetops stopped shaking. Adramelech's eyes refused to be pried from the stand of trees, watching, watching. Then, a foot emerged, a leg. Watson strode from the trees, unharmed. Behind him limped Laith, guarding Watson's back. Adramelech flew to the site of the epic contest. Anzu, rod broken, lay motionless. Without warning, a powerful craving for grapes arose from deep inside Abigail. She hadn't been thinking about fruit. The desire erupted from nowhere and enveloped her. Memories of the pleasures of fruit flooded her mind. The agony of bondage forgotten. The desire strengthened by the moment. It seemed to form itself into an entity of its own, battling Abigail from the inside. She opened her mouth to call out, but had no voice. She looked around frantically. Where did everyone go? She ran up a hill for a higher vantage point and looked in every direction. She stood alone, more alone than she had ever been. Again, she tried to scream. A smoky substance rose from her chest, burned her throat, and spewed from her mouth. The undulating fog swelled and morphed before her. Legs, arms, a face, a human form. A woman. Blonde, curly hair. It was Abigail's own image. It was like she was looking in a mirror, except the image had a gaping wound in its chest.
You're my old self.
Abigail backed away.
I killed you when I went through the cottage.
The image parted its lips, revealing sharp fangs as it advanced towards Abigail.
You invited me back,
it growled through clenched teeth. Claws emerged from its fingers as it crept closer. Abigail backpedaled a few more steps, then stopped. She straightened, leveled her gaze, and drew her sword. The image drew a sword of its own and lunged in a wild assault. In a blur, Abigail parried every move. With the speed and skill of a professional swordsman, she wielded the weapon with a single hand, her skin glowing purple. But as the fight wore on, Abigail's strength faded. Everything in her screamed for fruit. She felt like she would die if she didn't get a taste. Her soul moaned. Her body revolted at the deprivation. Her mind assaulted her. Still, she fought on, remembering Charles' words about holding. Holding, holding.
Why are you fighting me? Said the image. You're only hurting yourself. Look, all this fruit, this whole beautiful orchard, can be yours. Don't you see? You can still visit the banquet hall while enjoying the orchard. You don't have to give up one for the other.
The glint of Abigail's sword flashed red from an inscription near the tip. My favor that brings salvation teaches you to say no to old passions as you wait for me. She remembered the blood room.
He died to purchase my purity.
Abigail faced the vile image and roared.
No!
But why deny yourself when you know you can be forgiven? Why not
betray him because I know he will forgive me?
Abigail raised her sword.
Destroy a relationship just because it's possible to rebuild it? That's like saying, my leg can heal, so why not break it? She brought the sword down like a flash of lightning across her opponent's thigh, snapping its femur.
Abigail stood above the fallen image with the sword at its throat.
Yes, a broken leg can be healed, but it can also lead to death.
Strike me, it hissed, and you will never taste the fruit again. I'm the only one who can bring you that pleasure, even if it's just once in a while. Remember, there is no fruit in the cottage.
Abigail froze. The words never again frightened her. Tastes of fruit formed in her mouth. She would never enjoy them again? Then Adam's words jolted her memory.
Will you hesitate, or will you strike?
In that instant, the image lunged and tackled Abigail.
The thing was trying to climb back into her soul.
You don't have to take any fruit right now, it whispered. Just leave the door open a crack.
Again, memories of the orchard's pleasures flooded her mind. Abigail stopped fighting, and her soul began reabsorbing the image. Just as quickly, words of the cottage spoke in her spirit. What benefit did you receive at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Her skin crawled at the vivid recollection of the snake in her dream. She took the image by its blonde curly hair and flung it with every reserve of strength within her. When the image tumbled to a stop, Abigail was already standing over it, sword raised.
Go ahead and kill me, it said. I'll be back tomorrow.
Then I'll kill you again. I'll strike you down every day the rest of my life.
The sword came down so hard it shook the ground. The image dissolved. Again, powerful cravings arose in Abigail's soul. But this time, she craved real food. She longed to be near the ruler. She wanted to touch the colors. And with those desires came hope. She knew the desires would be fulfilled. For the first time since she had entered the orchard, saying no to the fruit felt like gain, not loss. Thoughts about fruit, feelings of self-condemnation, the impulse to give up, and self-pity still tried to invade her mind. But she interrupted those thoughts with better ones.
No, those thoughts are not true, not noble, not right. I will not allow them another moment.
She crowded them out of her mind by relishing the descriptions Watson had given her of how he felt when he reconciled with the ruler after his fall. She remembered the aromas and flavors of the banquet hall. She recalled some of her best moments in the cottage with the ruler. She relished memories of the ruler's wisdom, love, power, patience, mercy, forgiveness, knowledge, tenderness, purity, holiness, majesty, provision, joy, peace, favor.
Abigail! Down here!
She pushed a pine branch out of the way and scanned the hillside below her until she caught sight of Adam's waving arms. She waved back and started down the hill. The group met her halfway.
Where were you? Adam asked. And why is your sword drawn?
Abigail looked at the sword in her hand and pushed it into the scabbard. She looked at her cramping hand and stretched it, then looked over her shoulder.
Is someone back there? Kaelin asked.
Adam stepped close and touched her purple hand.
You faced her, didn't you? You struck her down. That's why you made it across so easily.
Abigail looked around. Not a fruit tree in sight.
Where are we?
Adam smiled.
About a mile west of the orchard. You crossed the border, then ran off. We've been searching for you for the last hour.
He put an arm around her.
You did it! You're free!
Kaelin and Saul embraced. Karis, Abigail's guardian, danced and sang for joy. The celebration resounded throughout the orchard and the Golden City. Levite smiled for a brief moment when Abigail broke free from the orchard, but a deadly serious expression returned as he set his gaze to the west.
You're concerned,
Big Red observed. Levite drew a deep breath. He looked back toward the orchard, then again to the west.
It is good to have a small victory, but there is a reason Abigail's rescue came so easily.
Big Red cocked an eyebrow. Easily?
Brace yourself, Red, and see that the others are prepared. There is a greater battle ahead, with much more at stake. This is far from over.
Big Red stood next to him and faced westward.
When you were sent here, and an extra 5 guardians were assigned to Charles, I knew there was more to this operation than meets the eye.
Perhaps if we knew what to expect, we could...
The ruler's name is at stake, Levite said. The hall itself could fall, and the outcome of the battle we are about to face will be determined in great measure by the actions of those 2.
Levite's eyes rested on Adam and Charles.
Watson as well. All 3 will be tested beyond anything they have ever endured.